Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Small Business Administration CFO, Jenny Main. Also joining us in our conversation is IBM's partner in financial management, Steve Watson. Jenny, many agencies are working to implement the budget and performance integration aspect of the PMA, and we've talked a little bit about the PMA in our last segment. What is the status of SBA's plan for this effort?
Well, I'm really pleased to be able to say that SBA has been green on the budget and performance integration president's management agenda item since a quarter or two after they started the PMA. We were one of the first agencies to be green. And I think the reason for this is that the agency has had a lot of experience. Probably since 1998, we've had an activity-based cost model that we use to identify the cost across the agency of each of the activities that we do. And we've been pretty successful at linking our whole budget environment to, you know, having a strategic plan that's the baseline that identifies the key outcomes we're trying to achieve. Our budget itself is mapped to those and then includes the activity-based cost results in terms of what things cost us. And then our performance and accountability report reports against those same things with the costs identified all the way through. So that framework has really helped us demonstrate that we're focused on budget and performance integration. And actually, if you went to the culture within the agency, we have what we call it makes me laugh. It's called the execution scorecard. I always want to call it the executive scorecard, but it's the execution scorecard that the chief operating officer uses to manage the program managers and all the managers throughout the agency. And the items that are in there are the same things that are in our budget and our performance accountability report. He meets monthly with the major office heads to go over the results and how they're doing to date against those things. So you can really kind of show that we have an integrated performance culture. And I think those different components all put together have helped us achieve green in the first place and then sustain it going forward. One thing that concerns me, though, in this march towards budget and performance integration, which I wholly support, is that there are really two sides to what you have here. You have the cost side, and we're getting better and better. The tools, the data, more readily available. It's cheaper to track data and keep it and look at it. So we're getting really good at identifying what it costs us to do things. The other side, though, is the benefits. Unfortunately, particularly in a lot of the programs that the federal government's involved in, we're involved in them because for some reason the private sector isn't doing them, but collectively our government and our country have decided that they're important activities for us to do. So there's a benefit there. And it's very hard, though, for us sometimes to figure out what the benefit is. We have a range, as I mentioned, of different loan programs at SBA. What's the benefit of a small business getting a loan on the terms and conditions that a private sector bank wouldn't provide them? That's the criteria for our primary loan program, that the lender wouldn't provide that loan on the same terms and conditions. So figuring out exactly what benefit, how much revenue have we added to the economy? Well, did, you know, the business retained a person or two, a job or two, or maybe even the whole company that they wouldn't have otherwise. Figuring out how to measure the incremental effect of that is really challenging. We've been working on it a lot, and it's not new to folks who follow this type of issue in the social services world. Because we're so focused on costs and benefits, and because our benefit data isn't so great, we're driving to the lowest cost products. And I think maybe, especially since I'm in the CFO, I'm the one who's supposed to keep my eye on the budget. I worry that if we keep doing our job so well, we're just going to have all the low cost programs funded, and anything that's higher cost, because we haven't shown that the benefit is commensurate with the higher cost, you know, we're not going to be able to do those things. So that's an area I've been struggling with. Our office has been leading a large multi-year program evaluation, trying to quantify the benefits of some of our loan programs. But it's challenging. I know when we're done, there'll be, you know, potential for people to, well, you didn't have a perfect comparison sample, because you can't.
Jenny, shifting gears here a little bit, the internal control requirements of Sarbanes-Oxley have moved into the public sector in the form of a expanded circular A-123. How is SBA implementing the new A-123 requirements?
Well, we've really done what I would call sort of a traditional A-123 implementation. I mean, I'll confess, in the government, you're allowed to do this. We just took OMB's guidance that they provided us last summer and used it as the basis of our plan. We just went section by section and said, okay, OMB wants us to do these things. Let's put them in our plan. So we're kind of trying to do the baseline traditional version of it. And it's actually worked well for us in the sense that I think everyone's clear about the goals. There's a lot of documentation for exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it. But as I mentioned earlier, from my perspective, the number one thing is to bring this back to the actual issues the agency is facing and allow it to give us a few solutions to problems that we know we have. SBA has literally a couple hundred open IG audit recommendations, and we are not alone in that. Any agency you go to is going to have a lot of open audit recommendations. We have unresolved issues. If there are issues around that the resources we're using under A123 can help solve some of these problems, then my view is let's do that. Rather than go and finding more new things, let's make it really hands-on and practical and solve a few of those problems. So we picked to go deep, if you will, in a couple of key places. Rather than 10 miles wide and an inch deep, we said we'll go 5 miles wide and pick two or three and really drill down. And that's how we've done it. And I feel like I've gotten some really good feedback from our program managers because they're going to have something tangible that they can use in a response to the IG, for example, on a problem they've been working on.
As a result of your efforts, are there any lessons learned you will apply for next year or could provide to other government agencies that are going through the A123 process?
Well, certainly the most practical one that we're learning right now is because we spent the whole year planning and this is the first year of it, we're testing the exact same time that the auditors are testing. It's frustrating on a number of fronts. We certainly wish that we could and hopefully next year will test, you know, February, March range. It'll separate the sampling process. Right now we have program offices getting requests for samples of loans from our internal management's auditor, and which is because we hired a firm to help us, and from the IG's external auditor. And they don't know the difference. You know, we can try to tell them, and I've tried, believe me. But when it all is said and done, you know, they're auditors, whatever, you know. So hopefully if we push our testing back a few months, maybe February, March, and then obviously we'll have the results earlier. And if there are issues that you can address and get them solved, that's the ideal situation. At least by September 30th, you might be able to show that you've cleaned up whatever the problem was and that you have a practice in place that the auditor, then when they test it in June or July, they see something that they're comfortable with.
Do you envision being able to integrate that testing going forward so that there's not the A123 auditors and then the traditional financial statement auditors both testing and looking at data?
Well, from everything I can tell, the intention is that they want us to test for ourselves and have the auditors test on top of it. That's my understanding of where they're headed. I think they're willing to let us document, you know, the first year they want us to test a baseline of the key processes. And then going forward, it seems like there's some opportunity to show, hey, we have a really strong track record that we don't have any issues. We have these processes in place that would tell us if there's an issue, and therefore we're going to sample a smaller number. We're going to sample less frequently, you know, sort of a multi-year kind of thing. But I think the notion that management has to have something of its own to stand behind the assertion, where we have to assert as to the quality of our controls that are in place. In the past, you could make that assertion based on whatever your FIMFIA process would let you get away with, in a sense. You know, you had to write a letter, and it said, yeah, I've looked things over. I've checked it out. Based on my management judgment, I think we're fine. And my understanding is now you have to say, hey, I feel good about the internal controls, and I tested them, and we didn't have any exceptions. Or the exception I had, I could understand and explain it away, you know, whatever the case may be. But you have to have that testing, I think, to make the assertion that you have things under control.
Jenny, how has SBA handled the accelerated financial reporting requirements implemented in 05 and 06? And what steps is your office taking to ensure the deadlines will be met?
This one is near and dear to my heart. We actually had a disclaimed audit opinion the first year that I was actually in 04, the first year that we had to meet the November 15th. And the number one was one word, planning. And we literally planned down to the day, who was doing what when. We had plans and subplans because our auditor, and of course our auditor was nervous about making November 15th too. It's a lot of work for us. It's a lot of work for them. Our IG and OMB. We had so many planning meetings and discussions. We had literally almost 100 pages of planning documents of exactly what was going to happen when. We tracked every component of the financial reporting process down. And then the audit process, I think they did the same thing on top of it. And that's how we made it. And it served us very well because we could just update those plans in subsequent years.
What does the future hold for SBA? We will ask CFO Jenny Main to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.